We are recording for the first time in a while.
I would say 2 weeks.
Yes, we've been sick in this house. It's been sick house, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. First of all, Jeff brought in the pestilence, famine, everything into this house.
Famine.
Yeah. Not famine. Well, we weren't
famine
eating.
Famine means you're hungry.
Oh, okay. That's right. Y vuelve a mentar vinos que viene azotando. La está botando, lo está acabando, la está matando.
Yeah. Ya.
Oh my God.
What?
I gotta tell you what happened to me at Target right now. Yeah. Oh. Hey guys, it's the Carolina Cadillo Show. I finally sound. Jeff, how do I finally sound?
Good, Jeff here.
We still have the cough though. All of us still have the cough.
What I only have a little cough.
Yeah, but what is it? What did the doctor say today? It's from mucus.
Yeah.
And that tickles your throat.
Yes.
How that all connects together, I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, you're not a doctor.
Yeah, but I don't know. But I like the way we took Jackson to the doctor real quick today, the pediatrician.
Yeah.
She comes in with a mask.
Yeah, she's afraid to get the flu.
Because
she's got a cold.
She's got three kids at home, you know.
Yeah. So weird when people talk to you with a mask on, too. It's funny, right?
Jackson, he's just finishing lunch. Let me say 10 minutes? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, 10 minutes. Okay. Oh, but let me tell you. So I went to Target, okay, Jeff?
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, Jeff, I got so... Can I say this? I digress. Can I say that word here?
If you're going back, yeah.
Yeah, I digress. So, we're all okay. Knock on wood, we're
finally all okay.
Oh my God. Jackson, like I said, we saw the cough, but we're finally, oh my God, this has been the worst.
I would say I'm 93% better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Jack Rico, 10 minutes. So right now it's 2:24. Today is Tuesday. Today is the 11th of February.
It is, all right.
So, Jeff, in 10 minutes, we're calling Jack, all right?
2:11 in progress.
Yes, yes.
Remember that?
No, what's that?
Oh, forget it.
What is that?
Very old reference.
Oh, gosh.
Adam 12's on TV again, though. They run Adam 12 on MeTV, so it's not that old.
Is that a police show or something?
Yeah, you know,
oh, okay,
Adam 12,
I guess.
As a kid?
No.
The cops, they would ride in the car and you know, deal with hippies in the 1970s.
No.
Last night, there was a ring of girls in miniskirts who were hitchhiking and stealing cars.
Where?
On Adam 12.
Oh, okay.
Because they were hot in their miniskirts, so they were distracting the men and stealing their cars.
Okay, so before you talk about, because I want to talk about, there's a stripper that fell off that curb herself.
Oh,
you heard about this story?
I know. I hope she's okay.
Okay, but let's talk about that in a couple seconds. So I was at Target right now buying a couple things.
I digress.
For dinner tonight, okay?
Yeah.
We're having cauliflower pizza. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Jeff, so I'm in the aisle. Well, actually, no. You know Target, they have these huge aisles, Jeff? Like,
yeah.
You know, you can definitely pass. Like, four carts can be on the side of me at the same time, right?
Yes, I get it, yeah.
So I'm looking at the sales, all these sweatshirts, because you know I love sweatshirts. I'm looking at a sweatshirt.
Uh-huh.
I'm all the way to the left, all right? A lady in, like, she's probably a couple feet coming down towards me.
Uh-huh.
She's, I would say, 89 years old, all right?
Uh-huh. My mother's 89.
Yeah, but she looks really 89. Your mom does not look 89. She looks 89, okay?
Are you Carolina Cadillo Skywalker?
No.
Oh, okay.
Instead of going around me like she should have, because I was just looking at stuff.
Boom.
You know what she said to me?
What?
Get out of my way.
Did
just
she
like,
really?
I'm not kidding you. Get out of my way. I'm
wow.
I was like, baffled. I didn't know what to say.
Really?
I'm like, coño, you know?
You said coño to
her? I was like, coño. I was like, wow.
Really? Was she American? White?
She was American, but I was like, what the hell?
That
and
matters.
There was another Spanish girl. I thought she goes, what?
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I said, coño. I said,
get out of my way.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. No, like, get out of my way. I'm like, oh my God.
That's really rude, right?
Isn't that rude?
Yeah.
I thought that was horrible.
That's pretty nasty to
just
say that.
Anyway. I just thought that. I'm like, all right.
The world is filled with Rudy's.
No, I think everything's crazy today because I was in the aisle. I was in a parking lot and a young woman, all right, Jeff? She's like, I'm ready to park. She's doing like 90 down the parking lot and grabbed my spot.
Really?
And I beeped at her and she beeped back. I'm like, okay. I'm not going
to
fight.
You're going to go to fight a Target?
What is that?
Okay, it says you were. Didn't you hear it said you were an idiot?
Oh.
People like that.
You are one pathetic loser.
Try that on her. Right.
You are an idiot.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyway.
You tried that on her.
You are an idiot.
Right? You know what the button below you're an idiot says?
What? which Jackson loves that. Is that the app you have, or like that machine you bought with all the sound effects?
No, that's different.
Oh my gosh, Jeff loves that.
I've got all sorts of stuff.
Hey, by the way, Jeff, remember a couple weeks ago I was having a glass of wine while we're recording? And I said, this is Hoda. This is how Hoda and Jenna, they drink on the show. Now a lot of people approached me and said, you know what, good for you, have a glass on me. I'm like, yeah, of course. I have a glass of wine every night, I think. No, I wouldn't say, last week I was sick, I didn't have wine. But I would say a glass, 5 times a week, one glass.
That's 5 days out of the week.
Out of 7 days. I would say, though, I mean, I like wine. Anyway, my point in telling you is that some people said that is not wine they're drinking.
It's water?
Someone said, yeah, it's some kind of watered down, some kind of...
Well, did you ever hear how on television they're not allowed to... I don't know where this came from. They're not allowed to show real money.
I wonder if Jack can tell us that. I mean, I wonder if he'll get in trouble.
Well, I don't know.
Because he is a correspondent. He does,
Correspondent. He's a host of a TV show.
No, but no, for Hoda and Jenna, he does, Pop Talk.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, on The Price is Right, if you hit the bid exactly right on, Drew Carey goes into his pocket and gives you $500.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's really $500 or if that's play money.
It might be funny money,
But why wouldn't it be, why can't you show real money on TV? Why is that?
I don't know.
Remember that was like the story?
Really?
You never knew that?
No, I didn't know that. I never knew that.
For years, they said you couldn't show money.
Really?
On TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
I honestly
didn't know that.
Let me think back.
Hold on, can I think back too?
Yeah, you can. Many simple sound effects make my wife... laugh her head off.
Oh my god, that is so funny. Anyway.
What?
Anyway.
What?
Does not compute.
Hey, before Jack comes on, do you have anything to talk about? First of all, I'm sick of politics.
No, you can't be sick of politics.
Gosh,
this is when it's all starting.
That's for your show, Jeff. That's not
for
our show.
Can I just say one thing about it, though? Today's the primary. The first primary, the second voting, because they did the caucus that they screwed up. But this is all going to work well today because they don't work the same way in New Hampshire that they did in Iowa. So today you're going to have Bernie probably come out on top. With Pete Buttigieg behind him.
I don't know. I didn't think he was going to come out on top, but it seems like he is,
Yeah, he's on top. Get it?
Yeah, okay. But, Jeff, I
can really get behind that guy. Thank you very much.
All right, okay.
The third candidate would be, I think the surprise is going to be this Amy Klobuchar. She's a senator from Minnesota.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
She's coming on strong because...
How about, Jeff, Biden? Biden's out?
He's going to be done, I think.
How about Bloomberg?
Bloomberg's going to jump in when he doesn't have to... He's not campaigning in these states, so...
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, he's going to...
jump in?
He's going to jump in later.
Wow.
He's campaigning in other places, but he's going to...
I don't know. I feel like... You were telling me this morning, all the stocks that you have risen because of Trump.
Well, they've risen because the stock market's gone up. Yeah, the stock market keeps going up.
Let's see what happens.
You can hate Trump for many things, the economy's not bad. And, of course, he is rude and he's not nice to people. And he says things that are horrible. But, in the end, the world's not ending. We've had much worse times. For those who say the country's the most divided it's ever been, I give you the Civil War, which was much worse.
I give you
Vietnam, which was much worse.
Yeah, yeah.
There are other times in our history where things have been much worse.
All right.
So as much as I do not like Trump, I'm not really a fan. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I don't like the things he's doing to the environment.
Yeah.
I can't just blindly hate him like these people are like, oh, he's horrible.
Oh, no.
He's
ruining
our country.
Come on. Give it a break. Just let it go already. Hey, listen,
everything.
Before we call Jack.
He's a jerk.
Jack, I just want to talk some royal news, all right?
Oh, of course.
Jeff, so did you know who Harry and Meghan... First of all, no one calls them Prince Harry anymore. They're just Harry.
Boom.
Yeah, they say Harry and Meghan. Who did they go out to dinner with the other day?
Somebody with a lot of money.
Exactly.
The guy from Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
Nope, it's a power couple. It's a power couple.
A power couple.
And she just performed at the Super Bowl.
They went out with J-Lo and A-Rod?
Exactly.
Really?
And they said that next they'll meet Archie also.
Who, the J-Lo?
Yeah, we'll meet Archie soon.
Wow.
Hey, listen, to I got to tell you, I loved the Super Bowl. I loved the halftime. But, Jeff, this is such a massive power couple. Did you know that they now have their own food line as well? Like, if you, like, you know how you, like Weight Watchers or...
Harry and Meghan do?
No, J-Lo and A-Rod. They now have their own, if you have, like, if you need to make fast food, like, go to the market, you know? They now have their own line of that. I forgot what it's called.
Seen that.
I just saw it yesterday.
How about Harry's Meatballs? Harry's Meatballs. Have my meatballs.
By the way, people are mad because they made their first public appearance 2 weeks ago for
JP Morgan. They flew on a private jet.
Exactly.
Well, what do you expect?
First of all, private jet. They're all about, you know,
saving the planet.
Exactly. And people are like, are you kidding us? Now you're doing this?
All right.
And meanwhile, Prince William and Kate are like all over. They're making appearances like every single day. They're picking up the slack with the bread left off.
And they're flying coach.
Exactly.
No, they're not.
They are flying coach.
No way.
That's their big thing.
They are not going to fly coach.
They say now that is the Queen's favorite grandson,
William. Well,
of course.
They don't like the other one because they took off to Canada.
Okay, Jeff, here's Jack Rico's number. You have Jack's number?
What the fuck is in Canada? Oh, God. Do I have Jack Rico's phone number?
Yep.
Caroline, Jack Rico is the most famous phone number I have in my phone.
Oh, really?
Let me make sure. Hold
on. Okay, yeah. Anyway, guys, so we wanted to talk to Jack. Jack is the host of Consumer... What's it called,
Consumer
Jeff?
101.
Consumer 101, which you guys have to check the show out. It really, really is good every Saturday. Yeah, Jeff loves it. Jeff's a fan of Jack.
I watch it.
Jeff is like... I'm man crushing on Jack right now.
Rico super fan.
Yeah. You're man crushing, right?
Yeah. They do outtakes at the end.
I heard that. Yeah, you were telling me that. So
make sure it's
Jack.
The same number I got in my phone.
Yeah,
shut off.
Oh,
let me see.
Here, hold on a second. We're getting Jack right now. My FaceTime does not work on my phone anymore. I don't know why.
Really? It
doesn't recognize my face anymore. I don't know why.
I want to call Jack Rico on FaceTime audio. His phone usually sounds good.
No, his phone always sounds good. So let's get him on right now.
Phone, right? Yeah. Go phone.
Okay.
Call Jack.
So. Let's call Jack.
There we go. Whoops. Gonna get this over here.
Mm-hmm.
See what's happening.
Okay, Jack Rico.
Hey.
Jack Rico! Welcome to the podcast.
What's going on?
How are you?
Good. I'm calling you for my watch.
Oh my God, that sounds good.
Oh.
I just got my watch. Are you loving your watch?
Well, it's a whole story.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not really my watch, but...
Oh, okay.
I bought it for my wife. Uh-huh. My wife had it for a year and never used it.
Oh.
So it's essentially brand new. And I was like, and I was going to try and sell it, but no one wanted to buy it at the regular price.
Yeah.
And I couldn't return it to Apple.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, why don't you just keep it?
Yeah, you should.
Nice.
I love my watch.
I know a street corner you could have gone to where you could probably sell really fast. You know?
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, you'd be recognized from Consumer 101. You know?
Yeah. By the way, Jeff is your number one fan.
I watch Consumer 101.
Yeah, you like the outtakes
awesome,
at the end, right?
I like the outtakes. It's pretty interesting, you know? I like your acting, Jack. Do you have a coach or something?
Jeff is man crushing on you, Jack, right now.
You must have a good acting coach, right? Or something. I don't know. It's right.
Let me tell you something. You know what that sort of acting is called? It's called survival.
Okay.
Jack is good. Jack is very, very good. He's done TV and radio. Come on. It came natural to him.
Listen, I've been a Consumer Reports subscriber. I've been reading that magazine, honestly, since I'm like probably 10 years old. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
My parents, so you're like a real like Consumer Reports groupie.
Yeah, my parents. I have the app on the phone. I mean, but I still get the magazine. I like paper, as my wife will attest to.
So, here's a quick story. So I got a flat tire up in New York, and I go to this garage mechanic, and there's a dude that's already in there arguing with the clerk, and they're going back and forth. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go check Consumer Reports. They're the most accurate of all the information. Just give me a couple of minutes. So I'm sitting down on the sofa, like, just waiting for my turn.
Wow.
This guy comes right over and sits right next to me.
Oh, wow.
And he pulls out the Consumer Reports on his iPad app.
See?
Did your face pop up?
And starts trying to get his information. In the meantime, I'm like right next to him, and that dude didn't even notice that.
Oh, my God.
No way. You serious? But did you say something?
He was so into, like, debating this guy and getting it right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. But that's a great show. Do you think you think it'll go to, like, prime time? Like, you know, maybe a Friday night or Monday night?
Who knows? I mean, you know, the way the show is currently constructed is that it's really meant for teenagers and their moms, you know, and dads, like on a Saturday morning.
That's
why it has that sort of very happy, you know.
Carolina, it's informational and educational, right? No, it's good.
Listen, it's a great show. Really, really, really good. Yeah. So, again, Felicidades. You're crushing it, baby.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
They got that Asian guy who does the health show in that same lineup there. I forgot his name. You know who I'm talking about? The guy,
Danny Seo,
who's really good.
Canceled him. He got canceled this year, actually.
Oh, I like him.
And Daisy Fuentes.
Oh.
She has a new show that she's replaced with Danny's.
Really?
You know, it's about genealogy.
Oh, wow. Where you come from, huh? Really?
Jack, do you know Daisy?
No, I don't. I don't even think I've ever met her, but like I've grown up with her.
Everybody has. You know, everybody has.
MTV Latin America, MTV Latino.
Jack, guess who knows Daisy?
You know, when I was a young radio guy from Poughkeepsie back in 1990, I believe I went to the MTV Awards, okay? And I admit I had a couple of drinks, and I went to a club in Manhattan where they were having some sort of after party for the Grammys, and I was staked out to interview people. And I interviewed Daisy Fuentes, okay? And she told me I was, I said, oh, you look so hot or something. She said, you're not too bad yourself, okay?
Wow.
Whoa!
the only problem was that the tape deck wasn't running. So I went to catch her later, and at that point I had imbibed a few too many. And she did say something on tape. She was nice to me again, but she didn't repeat it. And I was like, oh, I kept trying to, you know, find, and I just know it was an old cassette, you know, one of those big Sony cassette decks that they had to record things with back then. And yeah, she was very nice to me. I stopped, she talked to me for like 10 minutes, you know. So her and Matt Dillon.
That's so funny. I had two celebrities that I had encounters with during interviews that were I think at that moment I couldn't believe that it was flirting. Mm-hmm. Today I know it was flirting, definitely.
Hold on are you gonna tell us, reveal it? Hello.
Okay, So one day I went to interview Halle Berry.
No, really?
And Halle Berry and I are talking, and I say to her, I said, oh my God, it's so wonderful to meet you. You're glowing, or, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
And she said the same exact thing, Jay. She's like, and you're not so bad yourself.
Yeah,
and
see?
I was like,
oh my God.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. I mean, it
it almost makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Then, I'm not sure if you know a singer called Jackie Velasquez.
Hello. Yeah, she was in Chasing Poppy, right? The movie Chasing Poppy?
So, yes. So I went to Sony Records around the time that she was, because, you know, she's like a Christian religious singer.
Very pretty, very pretty, ballads.
So I went to go interview for a new album, and we were there talking, and it just, the conversation, like, it was supposed to be an interview that turned into a conversation that they got personal. Mm. And then all of a sudden we were like, hey, so what? She goes, what are you doing later?
Wow.
What?
And I said, I get out of work at 12. She's like, maybe we'll bump into each other, you know?
Yeah.
When someone's doing that, at that point, you know that a celebrity doesn't need to come up to a reporter or anything. It's actually look kind of weird, you know?
No, no. I'm surprised.
Sometimes those lines are broken.
Yeah. Did she give you a hotel room key, a phone number? What happened after that? Anything?
Caroline, I never take those things too seriously I've been in situations before where you think it's the green light, and then it isn't.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like,
all right.
And then you're caught in Me Too land, you know. So you got to watch that, right?
That's true too. Yeah. So Jack, talk to us about the Academy Awards. Did you watch it? What did you think? Personally, I think it's a little too long. They definitely need hosts. I think that Steve Martin and what's his name, Jeff?
Chris Rock
did an amazing job. I was laughing.
So here's the problem about hosts.
Yeah.
If you notice since the beginning that you've ever watched an award show with a host, there's the good and then there's the bad.
Oh, yeah.
They hit it and then they fail it. So the problem is that those fails are much more frequently than the good moments that hosts do. Because the opening musical is it's arguably the most – that's the one that everybody made sure that it was a hit. That level of energy and creativity and manpower to do that for every single segment is too much to sustain.
You can't
do it. Too much. Production values are expensive. So having a host means like you have 70% jokes fail, 30% did good, they go viral. That's not good enough anymore, you know? Yeah, so I think eliminating the hosts allows you to focus more on the actual films that we're celebrating.
Oh, okay.
So I enjoyed this one much more.
You did.
This one was a good one.
There were some pretty funny pairings of people that came up to give the awards, and that kind of took the place of having someone who would make a crack after every award, or make little pithy jokes that bomb. That's a tough audience too. You know what I mean? That's always a tough.
And I think what the Academy Awards are trying to do is first of all, I think they're run now by two women. So women had an inclination to really go, we're going to be anti-man. Mm-hmm. You know, no more men, more white men.
Except
it's our view now, and this is the way women think that an Oscar award show should look like.
Wow.
So if you notice, from beginning to end, the Academy Awards this year was, how do I say this? Overwhelmingly diverse. I mean it was so diverse that I think they were almost pandering to people of color,
saying
you wanted diversity and inclusion, well here, why don't you shove it down your throat? I'm going to give you so much diversity that you're going to end up vomiting diversity and you'll never be able to do this. Now here's the problem with that: pandering is always an act, but an act of insincerity. It's not an act of genuineness where you feel it was organic. It felt like, well, like my wife at one moment saw an Indian guy, a black guy, a white guy, an Asian guy, a Latino guy, and then she said, oh my God, are they going through the whole Rolodex of people who are, minorities, including wheelchairs? And boom, the wheelchair came in.
The wheelchair
and we were like, okay, this is too much. This is excessive. And it felt like they were like smiling behind our backs, you know, and just making fun of us in that way. So,
if anybody's
listening, you guys going to do anything with diversity? Don't overdo it.
Hold on.
Just not. I don't want to change the topic real quick, but we're going to stay on with the movies, okay? The other day, Jeff and I were in bed, okay. And we mentioned your name while we were in bed together. Yeah, we said Jack Rico in bed. But you know why? Because we were watching The Joker. You had talked so much about it. We were like, before the award, let's watch what Jack Rico had mentioned to us. You need to watch. First of all, can I say it was such a dark movie, but Joaquin Phoenix, wow.
That's why he won. What an amazing job.
It's like a life-changing role, right? Like, you've never seen Joaquin or anybody do what he did on screen this year or any other year, because the Heath Ledger one that everyone talks about is, you know, the legendary performance of the Joker in The Dark Knight by Heath Ledger that, you know, brought him to his knees and killed him. It literally... The role literally killed him. Which it didn't. The guy just had a natural overdose because he was taking pills for painkillers.
Yeah.
And he kind of took one too many or mixed them in a way that killed him.
Yeah.
But you know, like anything in journalism is someone's take on history.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's documented, it's historic. You know, it's crap. At the end of the day, the guy's like normal guy who just gave in a great performance. Joaquin what he did was sort of advance that performance to the next level.
Oh my God.
You're going to look at this performance as, well, how can you possibly top that? And that's what Jared Leto is pissed about. If you saw Suicide Squad, he did his Joker and it was so cartoony no one even acknowledges it as it even happened.
See, I liked his performance. I did not like the film. I did not like Joker as a movie.
It's a disturbing movie, Jeff.
Exactly.
I wanted to take a shower after I left the theater.
You know what I told my wife? I said, if you want to see the same movie, the same theme, but a much, much more well done, and I'm going way back here, of course, but watch Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver. To me, it's the same thing. It's about an outcast who's very angry. He has a whole rejection with Sybil Shepherd. It's the subway fight scene to me came out of Death Wish. I thought Todd Phillips, who directed that, I guarantee he's seen Death Wish and Taxi Driver quite a few times.
He's admitted that he took a lot of that 70s New York filmmaking and tone, sort of ambiance. Listen, no one makes original anything anymore. There's nothing original. It's always using, like, well, let's go back 80 years and let's see how we can modernize what happened 80 years ago to 2020. That's what Todd Phillips did here.
And by the way, you're talking about diversity, but come on, Jack, who's the best rapper? It's still the white guy. Eminem comes out.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
But I thought he blew that theater away. It was just amazing to me. It was like, here's our salute. Here's our salute to music in movies. And they played 20 clips. And then when they went to Eminem, I said, wow, they're playing orchestration under him. That's not from the movie. And then suddenly he comes out of the risers and sings a 17-year-old track. To me, I thought it blew that room away. My feeling.
It did, but it was also a little random. You know,
it just came
out of nowhere.
I liked it.
It was supposed to be what happened to me was I enjoyed it, but I'm not gonna lie. I was still distracted with what this had to do with anything happening today.
Right. It was just, it was a salute. They said, Lin-Manuel comes out and says, here's our salute to music. You know, music plays a big role in films. And they show these 20 random clips, right? Everything from Deliverance to Wayne's World. And then suddenly here's Eminem, who's 47 years old.
It looks great. I think he did a great job.
He did an amazing job. And for what it was, it blew the roof down. But it just seemed a little random. I wish they had. Look, that was an epic moment at the Oscars. The fact that no one presented that properly.
Oh.
The one that no one gave it an overview to actually have some sort of context to understand the power of it.
Yeah,
the immediate reaction is, dude, that came out of nowhere. Like, what's the it connecting to outside of a great song 17 years ago that has nothing to do with 2020?
Exactly. I just thought it was great that there was no introduction. It was all like, oh, by the way, Eminem's going to come out. And no, it's just like, here you go. He comes out of he just rises up.
It was crazy. One of my pet peeves of the whole night was that presenters were getting presenters. You know, the presenters were being presented.
Yep.
And I just kept on going, okay, I'm trying to understand why every single presenter is being presented by someone else. And ultimately what I could figure out is that they wanted to give new faces some airtime so that people can get to know, like, the new stars of tomorrow. So, but I think that bogged down the time clock. I mean, if you're not going to have a host, then stop having so much talking. Maybe do more awards on screen, or maybe do more performances.
I mean,
there were too many awards that shouldn't be on screen that could be done, like, you know, before the show, Jack?
But those people want their time, right? They want their due, right? If you did sound mixing, right? That's your one shining moment, right?
Do you agree?
It is, but let's be honest with you. Who the hell in the world, you know, on a mass level, outside of the people that work within that industry, which is important and valuable, but isn't generating any interest.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
For the rest of the people that don't deal with that on a daily basis, you know?
Exactly. Jack, hold on. I just want to ask, okay, this is our final question for you. Two more questions. Parasite.
That was my question about Parasite,
Do you agree? Was that your favorite movie that should have won?
Okay, so the issue this particular year, 2019 slate of films, is that all of them were great. I would say all of them are great in their own special way, and this is one of the best movies we've had in years, in a long time. So the debate was not about one film overpowering over the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I think the debate and the arguments this year were about, well, we really have four real contenders here to be number one, and that was 1917.
Mm-hmm.
That was Parasite.
Right.
Many thought it was Ford versus Ferrari, which gave you a really good sort of old, traditional, very Paul Newman type of movie with Matt Damon.
I haven't seen that yet, huh?
Ford versus Ferrari is one of the best movies of the year.
Oh, how about
it's about the Ford company creating a car that could be as fast as a Ferrari.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's really a film about American nationalism versus the world. That's kind of like what we're living with Trump, you know?
Gotcha. That title made it sound like it was another Fast and Furious movie, Ford versus Ferrari, you know what I mean?
No,
Hobbs and Shaw.
This is more of a drama.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Listen, man, I mean, when you look at storytelling in Hollywood, you're looking at three things. You know, you're looking at a three-act structure that we all find very familiar. Like, number one, you got the setting. The setting needs to be nostalgic and familiar for us to kind of, like, recognize it. The act two, these guys were essentially creating these conflicts of going to Italy, fighting with those guys, getting angry and say, we're so American that we're going to show you what we can do with our American power. That movie was such a patriotic film.
Oh.
It will have been, you know, the United States versus the world. But it's a fun, fun movie full of cars and drama and tender moments.
Right. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was the other one, I guess, you were going to go for, right?
So then you had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that everybody thought was like the real dark horse.
I loved it.
But what was shocking to everybody was that if 1917 wasn't going to win it, see, 1917 really is a film that Oscars throughout the history of the event, which is 92 years, have always picked as prestigious films. There's a criteria, there's a description, there's a feeling of what a prestigious film looks like.
Right.
You can see it when you see it. 1917 was that film, and it advanced the form, meaning that the way we watch movies is not the same after you watch 1917 on the big screen. What they did technologically and technically to that film was something that we haven't seen in years.
I heard it looks like
so
one long
everyone
shot.
Everyone thought that movie was going to make it. It's because it's a one-take scene. That's the way they're making it look.
That's what I heard about it.
Then everybody thought Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because that's an American film. It's a film about films.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hollywood about Hollywood.
I want to see
Hollywood and the voters love movies about themselves,
right?
About things that they. So everyone and everybody loves Quentin Tarantino, and this cast was just spectacular.
Some of
the greatest performances of the year.
Yeah.
So it was a lot. It was applauded, lauded, and everybody saw that would be the backup, the runner up,
and unpredictable for that matter. Once upon a
time, the meantime, what ended up happening was, there's a lot of these, like, film junkies that were like, come on, man. In our sub-universe, the ones that all the film connoisseurs love, it was Parasite. It was always Parasite. Parasite's like the sleeper dark dog that was a masterpiece since the beginning of last year. It was internationally a phenomenon.
Wow. Yeah.
It came to America, and people who know about movies were going, that is the best movie of the year. You know, 1917 came out and said, well, we're the most prestigious movie, but we're not necessarily the best movie. And I think Parasite is truly a masterpiece movie that is about class inequality and about poor people who aspire to be wealthy, affluent, have status. And they usurp these people's, you know, ideas, which is more of a metaphor about the social commentary of our class system in Latin America, here in the United States. What are we willing to do when we don't have much? Are we willing to steal? Are we willing to kill? So all those commentaries put into context in that film really resonated, because I think we're all kind of going through something like that, whether it's millennials feeling like they're being condescended to by baby boomers and Generation Xers. And you've destroyed our country. You've destroyed our world. Like Greta Thunberg's like, we're going to take this back. It's going to have to be the kid to tell the adults what how to be responsible. So I think Parasite is really about the have-nots and the haves and who wins that war socially.
I will have to check it out.
I had to check it out.
I read a couple of film critics that said, you know, it was a writing a wrong because there were so many good, as I used to call them, foreign films that never won. I know some guy cited something that came out, The Sting. He said, of all things, The Sting beat it. You know, very film snobbery. Like, the popular movies aren't supposed to win, right? But meanwhile, that's what people see. Although they're putting Parasite, I read they're putting it in 2000 theater. So people will get a chance.
Parasite.
To see it.
The other thing about Parasite is outside of the story, the story's amazing. You're like, okay, wow, how are they going to pull this off?
We'll have to check it out.
And then the way they pull it off is so like mesmerizing that the movie then goes from one tone through the first hour, and then it becomes crazy in the second hour.
Cool,
wow,
like completely, almost horrifically, violently.
Oh.
Okay, don't say too much. That's
don't
enough.
Ruin it.
We want our listeners to see
it's
it.
It's stylistic. Yeah. It's extremely well performed. The writing's excellent.
It's the feel good comedy of the year. I mean, shit. we're there, man.
Hey, Jack, thank you so much for coming on. We love you. Jeff even said, Jack Rico is the most famous person on his phone.
Famous person on my phone, Jack, you know? of all the people in my contacts, you're the only one who's on television.
Jack, so where can people reach you on social media? What is your social media?
Well, you can reach me on Instagram at Jack Rico. Mm-hmm. You can reach me on Facebook at Jack Rico 40. And you can reach me on Twitter at Jack Rico Official. And great to talk to you guys.
Love you. We love having you on.
Happy New Year on February 11th. Okay, we'll talk to you in a while. You know,
can't wait to see you, my friend. Okay, we love you.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Take care, Jack.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We didn't tell him we're coming to YouTube yet.
Oh no! We should pretty soon. Yeah. Hey, listen, we're doing one more question because I just want to ask Webin about the broomstick challenge.
I saw
which
that.
Is only today.
Yes, I heard it was yesterday.
Oh, was it yesterday?
I heard your broomstick will stand up.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We didn't do it yesterday, did you? No, we didn't do it.
No.
Let get Webin. I want to see what his thoughts are on that, and then we're
out
of here.
Jack Rico to Gubin, everybody.
Oh my gosh, I loved having Jack on, and he's such
he
a talented friend,
show.
And yeah. I love that he. Hey, Webin.
Hey.
What? Say hi to your listeners.
What's up?
Say hi to your listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Hey, Webin, real quick, I know you're busy, but did you do the broomstick challenge yesterday?
Do I really have time to deal with that bullshit? You know, the only time we pick up broom here is to clean the crap after the dog.
I use this broomstick all the fucking time. Webin,
did you guys do it on the air yesterday?
No.
Okay, it's I don't understand.
Latinos don't do that. Latinos don't do that. Latino moms only use the brooms to hit us or to clean.
You hit your kids with it, Caroline. You hit your kids with the broom.
Exactly.
You clean this room, I kill that's, you.
Well, that's all right. That's going to know soon enough.
Hey, listen, Webby, one more question. What did you think of J-Lo and Shakira? Because a lot of people are commenting it was way too sexy. I was like, are you kidding me? It was the best halftime I've ever seen.
Listen. I have to give it to them. It was a great show, but yes, it did have a lot of sexual contact and content. And I'll say it right now: the one slide that J-Lo did, where she's she's just petting her coochie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of messed up. I get it, you know, but it is an 8 o'clock show.
But do you think
the kids watching?
Major kids are watching this.
Do you think that because she's getting up there in years, she wants to prove to people that she still has it, she's still sexy. I'm 50 years old and I still have it.
No, I mean, J-Lo has nothing to prove to anybody. I mean, she's the age that she is. I think she's 51 or 52. I'm not sure how old she is.
Okay.
I mean, she has nothing to prove to anybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the content of her show. Yeah. That's just the way she, you know, that she does. I mean, I could sit here and slam J-Lo, but you know what? As a Latino, I felt proud.
Me too.
To see that going on.
Plus now,
unfortunately, a lot of whiteys like like Jeffrey there, you know, they weren't too happy with that.
Oh, I love I love Latino ass shaking in my face. There's nothing like it.
Yeah,
Latina.
I know, I understand. It was like your old days going to the strip club in Queens. I get it.
Yeah. You know? That was like going to Wiggles all over.
Do you know
again.
What Jeff's idea is?
Right.
What, you know what Jeff's idea is? Jeff, what was your idea about strip clubs?
Oh, strip clubs should have a daycare, don't you think?
No.
Oh, of course. It's like when you go to IKEA. You know how you leave your kids in the ballpark at IKEA?
Yeah.
So same thing. They should have that at the strip club.
The basement of the place right near here. I was thinking you walk in.
I noticed that Carolina didn't laugh about that shit. She's not happy about that.
I'm going to go propose the idea to the little place around the corner here. Our local nudie bar. Been in business for like 30 years. Nice place.
We love you. Go back to sleep. Are you sleeping?
Yeah, we bothered him.
No, I was getting the kids from school.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Say hello to everybody, all right?
These kids are so big, man.
I know.
Wow.
Jackson's big, too.
Yeah, we're all getting big.
Yeah, Jackson's huge, man.
Yeah,
pretty soon we'll all be on walkers and, you know, falling on face first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder if that hurt J-Lo, that stripper pole. Like, I wonder if that was, like, a really tough, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if she was aching the next day from that performance.
Probably not. She's in shape.
Guys, you know, you guys are talking about stripping, but did you guys see the viral video of the stripper that fell off the pole?
That's what Jeff is telling me.
I haven't seen it. I heard she fell like 10 feet, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, the viral video is crazy. She was doing a pole trick all the way up top.
Yeah.
Let's just say it was like the Statue of Liberty. This thing it had to have been at least 20 feet.
Yeah,
maybe
30.
Is she okay?
You know, you could hear the flop, pop, and she kept on twerking. She broke her teeth. She broke her jaw.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's
a bunch
hurting.
Of stuff. Her friends are together a GoFundMe campaign.
Oh, I'm donating. I'm going to donate right now.
A ton of doctor bills. Yeah, you know, and it's funny. You know, I really thought that strippers really made money, but they really don't. You know, the clubs take most of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Pobrecita.
Yeah, I
hope she's okay. But she's okay, though, or she's still in the hospital?
Yeah, she's good. I mean, I guess, you know, she'll be, you know, she's like a football player. She'll be out, you know. She's
oh, my God.
Now she's going to be a daytime stripper, probably, unfortunately.
Exactly, because she's got missing teeth, so, yeah,
she'll
definitely
be. But we love you.
When I used to go see the daytime strippers, it was so different than the nighttime
really?
Ones.
Really? When was that? It better be before me.
Last year.
But yeah, okay.
Last year.
But we love you, okay? Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
See you
love
soon.
You.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys, we're out of here. If you want to reach us, 516-637-3254. We're all over Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Carolina Cadillo. You know what? We'll be back tomorrow. I know we're all saying we're doing this, but you know what? We were sick last week. I'm fixing a studio for YouTube. It's just a mess right now. We have laundry. We have baskets. We have a lot of stuff down here. We have to clean up, but we're definitely doing YouTube because we have
like
some sponsors coming on. Okay?
It looks like a basement here
But we'll definitely do it. So thank you again for all your support, all your love, and thank you for all the positive messages that we're sick, all right? When we were sick, you know?
Yeah. At Jeff Jensen Show on Twitter, The Real Jeff Jensen on Instagram, Jeff Jensen on Facebook. I think it's a picture of Teddy jumping in the air. I took the Salma Hayek picture off temporarily, but I will put it back. Maybe I'll put a picture of me and Jack Rico, right?
We need a picture of Jack here.
Thanks to Jack Rico for coming to watch Consumer 101. It's on Saturdays on NBC.
That is an amazing show. You guys have to watch it.
It's good. It helps you make decisions, you know?
Jack, I forgot to tell you, if you need a co-host, aquí estoy. Listen, I can do it. I can do it with you, baby.
She's
here.
Love
you guys.
516-637-3254. JJ the DJ at optonline.net. JJ the DJ at optonline.net. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love you.
Bye.
Shows at JJ Production.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.